you are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is from our Fall Kickoff Sunday. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
Hey, good morning, Mid-Current. How's everyone doing today? Feeling good? All right, good. My name is Sten, and I am one of the pastors here at this place. And I want to welcome you here today, and I want to tell you truly, honestly, how glad I am, how glad all of us here at Mid-Current are that you could be here with us for our fall kickoff. Now, I also want to be really honest with you and tell you that about 2 weeks ago, I was sitting at my desk saying to myself, darn it, why do we even have to do a fall kickoff in the first place? Okay, I was trying to convince myself somehow that it didn't matter, that like maybe this day wasn't as, wasn't all that important. Why would I do that? Why would I say that? Why would I try to convince myself of that? Here's why. I think, if I'm being honest with you, I think I was a little insecure. I had just returned from some vacation. We still had a few blanks to fill in, a few things that we wanted to do ended up falling through. This date was rapidly approaching on the calendar, and every other church on the planet was already Instagramming all of the plans that they had for their own fall kickoffs. And strangely enough, all of those plans for their fall kickoffs, all those plans oddly sent the same message to me. Okay, none of them were even like remotely directed at me, and yet somehow I kept reading and hearing and seeing the same message in their Instagram post. Sten, you dropped the ball. I'm like, this is why I think I was trying to convince myself that like this didn't matter. I think I was trying to do the whole like, you can't fire me, I quit kind of thing. You know, I'm going like, you can't tell me I dropped the ball in the fall kickoff because I didn't even want to do a fall kickoff in the first place. You know, I'm going like, that don't even matter. That's why we're not, we're just fine. That doesn't even matter, right? I was trying to make myself feel better by telling myself this is just a normal Sunday. I mean, there's nothing different about this Sunday than the Sunday before it or the Sunday after it, right? Does it really matter? Do people really care about all the extra stuff that we've got planned, or is that all the stuff that we've just convinced ourselves that people want or that people need if they're going to come to church? I was really doing a pretty incredible job of lowering the bar for myself. I mean, it was a very impressive argument that I was, you know, kind of like formulating in my head for why, you know, all this stuff didn't matter. And then in the course of my preparation, in the course of my studying this week, that I do every week, in the course of the lead up to today, all of a sudden it hit me. Oh no. A kickoff like this, right? A day like this that we're all part of today, all of a sudden it hit me. Oh no, this really does matter. This really could matter a whole lot, right? All of a sudden, right, the potential of this Sunday became very clear to me. I realized that today it could go down as a pivotal moment in our lives. Not because of the caramel apples and the donuts and the, you know, the photo ops and the kids' tattoos and all that stuff. I mean, even that stuff is super fun and it's really important to our desire to create irresistible environments here, right? So that stuff's all great. But all of a sudden it hit me that a day like today, a fall kickoff at church, it really does matter a lot. And it could be a pivotal moment in the life that you are living, or in the family that you are leading, or in the faith that you are cultivating, or in the race that you are running. And generally speaking, I guess this is what I was hoping that you would recognize today, that you are running a race, right? We all are. That's what I think I wanted you to realize today, that you are running a race. And honestly, that's not just my opinion. It's actually the opinion of a number of the authors who wrote the books that make up the New Testament of the Bible. And the author of the book of Hebrews, he's a pastor in that day. He writes a letter of encouragement to a group of Jesus followers using the imagery of running a race. Listen to what he writes in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1-2. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us," what? "Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." Now, this crowd of witnesses is a reference to the previous chapter, chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, in which the author lists out all of the heroes of the faith. It's all the men and the women that we read about in the stories of the Old Testament who lived like the most exemplary lives of faith. And so the author lists all of them out, and then he turns his attention to his readers and to us and to you and me. And now he's saying, it's your turn, right? It's our turn now. And so the image of running a race, it emphasizes that we, especially those of us that are followers of Jesus, it's used to emphasize that we have a course to complete. We have a goal to reach, and we have to be diligent in our effort toward that. We have to run the race that God has set out before us. Not just the race that keeps us in motion, not the race that just means we never stop hustling, right? But the race that has been set out before us. And so Midcurrent, here's what I want to suggest to you today. At the outset of what I want to share with you, here's what I want to suggest as we get going. Here's what I want to suggest about the race that you are running. Every race needs a course, okay? We're all racing, we're all running, we're all moving, we're all hustling. But what I want to suggest to you today is that just the movement, the motion, the hustle, that may not be it. What I want you to realize is that every race that we are running needs a course. And for you and for me, today it marks the beginning of that course, at least the one that we are wanting to run here together. It marks the beginning of that. And here's the reality. If there is no course, right, I want you to think about the reality that every race needs a course, because here's the truth. If there is no course, there is no direction to the race. And if there is no direction, then I don't think there's much of a destination, at least not one of your choosing. The truth is, friends, everyone ends up somewhere. Very few people end up somewhere on purpose. Okay, let me say that again, right? Everyone, every single one of us ends up somewhere. Very few of us will end up somewhere on purpose. And I think the man that we refer to as the Apostle Paul, he wrote like half the books in the New Testament. I think he knew this to be true. I think he knew of the significance of the course on which you and I choose to run. Paul is famous for the churches that he planted in the first century and for the letters that he wrote to those churches and to those new believers there. And so look what he writes in 1 Corinthians. It's a letter to the people in the town of Corinth, right? Look what he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He too is picking up on this running theme. And he refers to athletes running a race, competing to win a prize. And then look what he says next. He says, they do it, they run the race to get a crown that will not last. But we do it, we run to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, this is what I want you to pay attention to today. He says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Right? If you're looking in your own Bible, circle that word. If you're just kind of paying attention, make a note of that, right? He says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer just beating the air. He finishes this little, you know, section of his letter talking about the discipline that is required in order to pursue the prize and to you know, complete the course that is set before him. But don't miss his big point, what I think is his big idea here. Don't miss what he's saying. He's saying, I do not run aimlessly. Friends, can I say out loud that I fear that more and more and more people in the world today are running aimlessly? I mean, I told you, whether you realize it or not, I think you're running a race, right? If you're living and you're moving and you're breathing, you're in the game, right? You're on the field, you're running the race. And my concern is that more of us are running the race aimlessly, that we're hustling, but we're not really aiming at anything. And here's what is concerning to me about this. There's a psychologist who's work and who's thinking that I like to follow. And this week I came across some teaching of his that said this. I my eyes got wide. I thought, oh my goodness, this is incredible, right? He said, aimlessness and anxiety are the same thing. Aimlessness and anxiety, the same thing. So when you're aimless, you get anxious. And the reason is because anxiety computes. It calculates aimlessness. For example, if you drop someone, you know, in the middle of the desert, the reason that they become anxious is not because they don't know which way to go. It's because there are way too many ways to go in every direction. And every direction is calling. Every direction is beckoning you. And that is way, 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 way too complicated for your brain to compute. And so your brain signals that, and your brain alerts you to that aimlessness with anxiety. It says they're the same thing. On top of that, it's fascinating to me. You start learning that our brains are set up to produce positive emotion. That is, in quite frankly, what the positive emotion system does. It computes the decrease. Okay, stay with me here. It computes the decrease between you and a goal, right? So if you have a goal and you see that you've done something to move closer toward that goal, your brain rewards you with a drop of dopamine that says, "Bah, that felt amazing. That was awesome," right? And then it strengthens that neurological pathway in the brain that moves you forward toward that goal. That's the reward, it's the reinforcement. And so here's the deal. If you don't have a goal, if you don't have a target in something that you're aiming for, then you most likely will receive very little positive reinforcement, very little positive emotion, that you won't be rewarded with that kind of positive reinforcement. Okay, now friends, if this is like all over your head, you're like, what is he talking about? I'm sorry, but this is fascinating and alarming to me. And I think so significant to all of us, this connection between aimlessness and anxiety. It's fascinating and alarming, the connection between the two. Because here's And I don't say this, I don't wade into this lightly here, but here's what gets my attention. Anxiety seems to be everywhere today. Anyone experiencing, you know, more anxiety in your life that you're used to? You don't have to answer that. You don't have to raise your hand. But I mean, ask yourself, right? A few brave souls are raising your hand, right? All the reports, they talk about the increase in anxiety in the world today. The news reports on it. Psychologists and counselors would tell you all about it. So many more of their clients coming in, battling anxiety today. Every study will confirm it. Anxiety is on the rise. My wife and I were just talking last night. She even admitted, she's like, man, like 10 years ago, like I never even heard people really talking about like anxiety. Anxiousness, sure, but this whole, man, anxiety is on the rise. My kids' school district even sent out an email talking, about tips for helping, you know, kids deal with anxiety. And part of me is going, man, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that they're mindful of this stuff and that they're in our corner and they're trying to help us address it. That's awesome. But the other part of me is screaming inside, what the heck is going on? My dude's in, you know, second grade. The only thing he should be anxious about is whether or not the soccer ball is like pumped up for recess. I mean, truthfully, I'm going like, what in the world have we done as grown-ups that our kids are now have to be suffering from anxiety too? Here's what I'm realizing. Here's what I'm sensing, at least. We are becoming progressively less and less targeted in society, right? We are progressively aiming at less and less and less. Okay, now please, please, please know, I'm not judging anyone. I'm not scolding anyone. I'm not shaking my finger at anyone. I'm just observing what seems to be a real trend, what seems to be a growing trend. The average American family or the average American individual is aiming at less. Right, for as many studies as there are about anxiety being on the rise, there's just as many reports, and I see it, right, in all the conversations that pastors are having. I see these reports. For as many of them that say anxiety is on the rise, there's just as many studies that will report that God is less important to people and to families than he was a decade ago. Church is less important to the average American family today, than some time ago. Faith is far less common today than it was, some years ago. The value system in our, societies is declining. And now holding to any sense of like a moral compass, which is, compasses are designed to point you in the right direction. Any sense of some kind of moral compass is now seen as old fashioned and out of touch or offensive. Societally speaking, we are no longer aiming at anything. We're just going along with everything. We're just going along with wherever the wind seems to be blowing. And so if aimlessness is truly what fuels anxiety, I wish it wasn't the case, but if this is true, then I'm going, well, man, then it's not all that surprising that more and more people are experiencing anxiety at alarming rates because we are becoming more and more aimless. We're just chasing the wind. We're not shooting for anything. We're just going along with everything. We're just going along with what the news tells us. We're just going along with what politicians tell us. We're just going along with what Hollywood tells us. We're just going along with what pop culture tells us. We're just going along with the world of youth sports tells us. We're just going along with whatever our neighbors or our friends or our coworkers seem to be doing. We just keep hustling to keep up with whoever it is that we think has gotten further down the line than us. So I got to catch up to them. Where are they going? I don't know, but they're out ahead of me. I think we are becoming an aimless people. And it's no wonder then. I don't say this lightly. I'm just saying, I think we're becoming an aimless kind of people. And it's no wonder then that anxiety seems to be on the rise. Midcurrent, whether you realize it or not, the life that you are living is a race that you are running. And every single race, it needs a course. It needs direction. It needs a finish line. It needs a goal. It needs a target on the wall. It needs mile markers along the way so that our brain knows when we're getting closer to what it is that God set out before us, right? It needs, lines, painted on the field or painted on the track to show us when we're inbounds and when we've gotten on track. And maybe most importantly, but it kind of overlooked in the whole deal, it needs a starting line. It needs someone gathering all of the runners in one place, pointing them all in the most desirable direction and sending them into motion. And that, friends, is why today matters. Okay, that's why, at least for our life here together at Midcurrent this year, and what we do believe is going to be maybe one of the most momentum years. That's why a fall kickoff matters. That's why a day, that's exactly what a day like today is intended to do, to gather us all, point us in the right direction, right? It's not just about all the extra stuff and the donuts and the things. All that stuff is awesome. I really do love all of that. I will always, always, always demand that the life of the church be filled with joy and with fun and with celebration. Okay, it's a great. But more than all of that, today, right, our fall kickoff is about gathering as many of you as possible at the starting line. It's about setting the track, and it's about setting the course out before you. It's why we printed a calendar with all the next steps for you to choose from MC Youth, which is going to be off the charts, right? But that's why we got all that stuff. It's why we have the next steps for you, from youth to connections to baptism to MC circles into partnership and everywhere in between. Every race needs a course. And it's why we are always going to be working hard, never perfectly, unfortunately, but always working faithfully to set the course out in front of you. We want to be your guide along the path that God has set. And so all that's left then, all that's left is for you to decide to start running. Okay? Not aimlessly. Okay? Not toward everything, but towards something that is, you know, important to you, something that is missing in your life, toward what it is that God has called you to, toward the prize that he set before you, toward the things that you want for yourself or for your marriage or for your family or for your faith this year. You got to sign up for the race, gang. Right? You got to pick your course, because every single race, and folks, we are running a race. You got to know that, right? And every single race, it needs a course. It needs a course. My wife, who is a runner, a marathoner, she's crazy, but she will tell you, okay? She will tell you that there is no motivation to train hard until you sign up for the race. She says, man, it's a lot harder to get out of bed every day if you don't have a date on the calendar that said, man, this is race day, right? Until you decide to compete, you're just running. You're still doing it. But until you decide to compete, you're just running, well, aimlessly. Okay, I'm not a runner, but this makes sense to me. I can attest to the same principle. 2 years ago, I flew out to Colorado to join in on a gig that my big brother was playing and singing. I had 8 songs that I was prepared to play when he took a break from the long set that he had planned. It was so fun. And after the fact, my brother kept encouraging me. He said, Stan, man, pick up your guitar again, man. He says, start playing around town back home. And he texted me and you know, asked me if I'd emailed any place yet to schedule the gig, to get a date on the calendar. And I always say, no, man, I only got 8 songs. I'm not ready for a 3-hour gig, right? But he kept on texting me. He said, you email yet? I said, no, dude, Bryce, I only got 8 songs. He said, email them anyway. I said, I'm not ready. And he'd say, start the date, and then you'll learn, you know, he'd say, set the date, and then you'll learn the music. And this went on for months. I kid you not. I'll show you the text thread, right? This went on for months. You email them, yeah, I'm not ready yet, Bryce. Email them, set the date, you'll learn the music. Same thing over and over and over again. And then on July 6th, I got that email too. I'll show it to you if you don't believe me. Okay, on July 6th, 2022, this is last summer, with only 8 songs in my repertoire, I agreed to my first gig for August 3rd, 2022. And in less than a month, okay, from July 6th to August 3rd, in less than a month, I put together a 3-hour set with 31 songs in total. How did I do it? I put a target on the wall. I had something to shoot for, something that was drawing me forward. I had something to run toward. Mid-Current Church, can I ask you today, what are you running toward? And when I ask you that, I'm not just talking about, you know, like, what hobbies do you have? And, you know, are you like picking up, you know, music on the side? I'm not just talking about that stuff. I'm actually talking about life and faith and family and legacy. What are you aiming at? What are you running toward right now? And what will you choose today, maybe? What will you choose to run toward this year? If you are not running toward anything, you are not going to end up anywhere, at least not anywhere on purpose. And you'll probably be anxious along the way. You might have a fine life. You might have a steady job. You might have plenty of money. You might have a beautiful family. You might have friends to hang out with on Saturday night. But I just wonder if you'll be tortured with anxiety inside, because you are not aiming at anything. You're just settling for, and you're just going along with everything that comes your way. Mid-Current Church, this is our fall kickoff. So let me ask you again. Right, let me ask you some of the same questions as we began, some of the same questions that were rolling around in my head the last couple weeks. Does a kickoff really matter? I mean, what does that even mean? It means that because we are all here, maybe we all want to be in the same race. And it means that this today, what we're doing, what you're a part of, it means this is the starting line. This is the moment that I am asking you to take aim at something specific this year. It's the moment I'm asking you to determine what it is you are running after, what it is that you are aiming at. Is it a deeper knowledge of scripture and theology? Is it a more disciplined life with the things that matter to you? Is it friendships and a marriage and a family that's built on the foundation of faith rather than, like, you know, friendships built on the weather or marriage is built on the kids? Or like, what? Maybe for you, it's a family tree that for generations to come loves and serves the Lord. Maybe it's a shift in your priorities. Maybe it's a life of generosity, whatever it is for you. Today is the day. And this is the moment that it all could begin for you. All that is left for me to say to you is ready, set, go. Let me pray. God, we are super grateful for a day to line up together and to try to set our sights on something together, God. So here's my simple prayer in the moments to follow, God, and even in the rest of this week as we gather with friends and his family. God, here's my prayer. Would you help us to determine what it is that we are running toward and if that's where we want to be going? Would you help us to determine what it is that we want to be running toward? God, would you help us to identify something, to start aiming at something? God, would you help us to put a target on the wall? God, draw us toward you. And God, help keep our feet to the path and to the course that you have set out before us. So God, help us to be people who choose here and now, that at a moment like this, God, we choose you, be running after you with everything that we've got. And we pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Mid-Current Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Mid-Current Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.